The epistle is from Philippians, chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. I won't hold on to my divine rights and privileges. I'll make myself nothing. I'll take the form of a servant and be born a man. I'll humble myself and be obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In order to free your children from guilt and condemnation. Why? Why would the Son of God agree to do such a thing? Why would the Father ask him to do it? Why? The answer doesn't rest in you or me or in any other human being. It's centered in God, in the love and the righteousness that are his very nature, in the fact that though the wages of sin is death, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, in your death or my death, but that we live with him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. By nature, righteousness, innocence, and blessedness are not yours. You prove that every day by what you think and say and do and fail to do. If you're not sure about that, look at the Ten Commandments. What God requires of you, and what he forbids. And you'll soon see that what St. Paul says is true of you. You are by nature a child of wrath, like the rest of the world, like the rest of mankind. As a result, you deserve to die and to suffer hell forever. But God didn't want that. He wanted you to live. And so, to make that possible, to fulfill his love without infringing on his righteousness, he gave his Son to be your substitute. To live the perfect life you failed to live, and to suffer the death and hell you've earned by your sin. And the reason he did it, is because he loved you. Miserable, rebellious, incorrigible you. loved you with an everlasting love. Whether you say it, God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only Son, or while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, or this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Or, as in our text, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. No matter how you say it, it all presents the same truth. In love for sinners, in love for you, God sent his Son to take your place, to live and die to save you. That's God's passion for you. Salvation doesn't come because God is an old softy who ignores sin with a wink and a nod. He takes sin seriously, even when you don't. No. Salvation comes at great cost. The suffering and death of the Father's Son, his only Son whom he loved. There was no shortcut, no easy and painless program. He couldn't just make a few calls to take care of it. Jesus took your place and bore the punishment you deserve, all the way to real death and complete abandonment by God. And he did it all in love, so that you could become a child of God and rejoice eternally in his mercy and grace. Give your attention then to the passion of our Lord, the most important thing that ever happened, the events through which Jesus accomplished your salvation, the story of God's love for you.